So today I want to talk to you guys about hope. So for the past few months, I've been experiencing a severe lack of motivation and fulfillment in school and just kind of life in general. I thought that I really needed a hobby. I really needed something to sort of spice up my life, get me outside, get me moving, get me interacting with different people. But I lacked the motivation to go out and get involved in a hobby. and so instead I spent my time dreaming about post-graduation, and I would go out and get a job, and I would have time and money and motivation and maybe energy to go out and get involved in something. And I was like, oh, this is what I really need to make me happy. If I can just do this, my life would be great. And so I was desperately hoping and anticipating this coming thing that I was hoping for. But then, a few weeks ago, my wife Jordan got an offer from a professor she's been doing research with to stick around for grad school. And I still hadn't heard back from any companies about any job prospects. So we were starting to have to seriously consider I might not be getting a job as soon as I'm hoping. And so when we started discussing this, I was feeling really devastated because I had put so much hope in this thing I was looking forward to in the future that I could not easily consider not having that hope fulfilled. So as is usually the case when we're going through life and there's something that's not quite right, there's a story in the Bible that describes us to a T. So can someone look up Matthew, or I guess we'll just go in a circle, maybe.
Sure.
So Matthew 19, 16 through 22. So this is during Jesus' ministry. He's been out sort of teaching, performing miracles, and he's approached by a man with a question. So could you go ahead and do
yep.
that?
Just then someone came up and asked him, "Teacher, what good must I do to have eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" he said to him. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, to 22.
"Which ones?" he asked him. Jesus answered, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and love your neighbor as yourself." "I have kept all of these," the young man told him. "What do I still lack?" "If you want to be perfect," Jesus said to him, "go, sell your belongings and give to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard that command, he went away grieved because he had so many possessions.
So why is the man grieved? It's not that he doesn't want to sell it. It's deeper than that. He has built up his hope in his possessions and his wealth. He is counting on that for his future, for his assurance. So I think this is a common theme that we find in life, is that we will often be asked to surrender some of our greatest hopes. So we want to make sure that we're putting our hopes in things that, like our ultimate hopes and things that we won't have to surrender. But also, we need to make sure that the things we're putting our hope in are worthy of it. So, in his book, All Things New, John Eldridge says this: "There is so much pain and suffering in a single children's hospital, war-torn village, or abusive household. What hope can we have that will make it all worth it?" So I want to look into what can we put our hope in that will last and that is worth the pain and suffering of this world. But first, I think we should probably look into what is hope, because we kind of group it into the same category as like faith and love, faith, hope, and love. These things remain. But there's not really, at least I didn't find any good verses defining hope. We have great verses for love and faith, but not hope. So before I share with you guys what I found, what do you guys think hope is? What does it mean to you?
It's not in the same, it's not like a bet, but it almost comes to mind like you're betting on something. That phrase comes to mind, like it's something you're hoping for, something that you want to happen or desire.
Yeah.
That's what I think of.
Yeah. Anyone else? Okay.
Yeah, I think the word desire is a good word to use along with it.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys are pretty close to what I found. But there's another component to it. So Merriam-Webster defines hope now as a desire accompanied by expectation or belief in fulfillment. And I think that this definition gives us a lot of insight into why unfulfilled hopes hurt so much. It's that missed expectation. So anyone who's been in any human interaction knows how much missed expectations can hurt in some sort of relationship. So when we experience that in life, of course it hurts. So when we look at hope as a verb, we get another really good definition. So Merriam-Webster says, to hope is to cherish a desire with anticipation. And I think this really points us to the benefits of hope. Even in our darkest hour, we can look to this thing we're anticipating with anticipation, with joy. It gives us a positive vision for our future. So hopes are desires accompanied by some expectation. We have different levels of desires, right? So then through this relationship, should we say that hopes have different levels of desires? Or, no, sorry. There are different kinds and levels of hope? I think there are. And I think it's important to maybe analyze sort of what effect different hopes can have on us. And so I came up with four sort of groups or levels of hope. And of course, these aren't concrete. These are just sort of my own way to break it down. But the first one is just everyday hopes. If these hopes go unfulfilled, it's okay. You know, we're not hurt. We're not going to be seriously hurt. You know, it'd be something like, I hope it doesn't rain today.
Or,
I hope dinner's good tonight. But, you know, if those don't get fulfilled, it's okay. You know, put on a rain jacket. Just eat the food. You'll be fine. So the next group I came up with are deep hopes. If these don't get fulfilled, it definitely hurts. And depending on what that hope is, it can take us weeks or days to recover. So this could be something like, man, I hope I get this job. I hope this exam goes well. I hope I get to see you soon to a close friend. It's like, if you don't get that job or your tests or you don't do well on that exam, that can set you back and it may take you a while to recover. Not seeing that friend for a while can leave you with a hole in your heart for desire to see that person. The next group are vital hopes. If these ones don't get fulfilled, it can crush us, physically or emotionally. On the physical side, it could be something like, I hope this disease isn't terminal, or I hope this pain isn't chronic. On the emotional side, in our relationships, it can be something like, I hope my family member will accept Jesus into their life. I hope that this person can forgive me for this thing I did. If those hopes aren't fulfilled, we can carry the burden of that with us through the rest of our lives. And the last group are assured hopes. These are hopes we are supremely confident in, and because of that, we can build our life upon them. But it's very important to make sure that those various hopes stay in their proper categories. So this is what I was guilty of letting happen. I was letting what maybe should have been a deep or maybe vital hope work its way into that assured hope category. So can someone look up Matthew 7, 24 and 27? So this is the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And he kind of sums up what happens when we don't have our lives built upon a firm foundation or a firm hope.
24 through 27. Mm-hmm. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
So when we're hearing the words of Jesus, putting them into practice, we are putting our hope in him and his words. If we put our hope in something else, that is not permanent, not temporary, when the storms of life come and test us, we won't stand up to it. Nick's asleep. Okay. Could you look up James 4, 13 and 14? And then, Bill, could you go ahead and get Matthew 19, 23 and 24? Mm-hmm. Okay. So
James 4, what?
13 and 14. So you can go ahead and read it for me.
Okay. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and then make money. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes.
Yeah, again, this was something I had been doing, putting my hope in this thing that I had no idea if it was going to even come to fruition. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. So let's not put our hope in things that we aren't certain that they will come to be. All right. And then if we go back to our story with the rich man, Jesus gives us another excellent reason why we should not put our hope in things of this world.
23 to 24. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.
If you have your hope in things of this world, it will be easier for you to put a camel through the eye of a needle than for you to be in the kingdom of God. Let's put our hope in things that are worthy of it. Okay, so now we can look at, all right, what is this hope we should build our lives on? Okay, so we can go back to that definition of hope. It's a desire about which we have expectation or belief in fulfillment. So what is the greatest desire we could have? What is a desire that can make all the pain and hardship of this world worth it to see that hope fulfilled? So could someone look up Revelation 21, 3 through 4? So this is at the end of John's vision of Jesus' return, and I think we would be hard-pressed to find anything greater than this to desire.
Revelation 21, which one?
3 and 4.
And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Yes. God himself, in person, will be present with us. He will take away all the pain and suffering, crying, and death of this world. I don't think that there's anything greater that we could wish for, anything greater that we could desire, than for God to come and take all the bad stuff away. So, but maybe that's still not enough for you. maybe, like, yeah, well, I mean, God's cool, but, like, you know. So, okay. Can you look up Matthew 19, 28 and 29? So, this is continuing the story of the rich man. So after he goes away, the disciples all turn to Jesus, like, well, hey, man, you know, we gave up everything for you. Like, what's in it for us, you know? So, can you go ahead and read that? You got it?
Starting which verse?
28 and 29.
28, yeah. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits at his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left house, or brothers, or sister, or father, or mother, or children, or fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much, and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it's kind of interesting here how Jesus doesn't give us, like, a service as its own reward answer. He doesn't say, the presence of God will be enough. He says, hey, whatever you lose, get back 100 times that when I come again.
Well, in Mark, it actually says in this present age, 100 times in this present age and eternal life.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. There you go, man. Like, if Wall Street caught on to this, like, who knows what would happen?
The question is, what is great riches? What are real riches?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. What does it mean to have this, you know, yeah, and all those things that God gives us? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think these are things that are worthy of our ultimate desire. But now we can look at the other part of hope. What justification do we have for expecting this desire to be fulfilled? Mm-hmm. So can someone get Revelation 21:5? So, just going back to the end of John's vision, sort of continuing that passage we read earlier.
He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
God himself said so. The word directly from the Lord. These words are trustworthy and true. Yeah, God said so. We know that his words are trustworthy through our own experiences with him, through sharing our testimony with each other, seeing that his promises are true in our lives. Can you get 1 Peter 1:3?
1:3. Mm-hmm. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is our salvation. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we are made righteous with God. And that is what gives us hope for being restored, restored to God, having all of our sins taken away, being able to experience God in a renewed creation, no pain, no suffering, for all of eternity. This is what we can put our hope in. This is what can sustain us and give us a vision for the future, no matter where we are in life. So when we have our hope in this, we can surrender any lesser joy. We can surrender any lesser hope with joy, looking forward to our Lord's coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us hope for the future, that you are coming again, and that you can sustain us through all things. just ask that as we go from here, Father, you would teach us to evaluate what our hope is in, Father, and make sure that it is on you and that you are the foundation of our life. I ask all these things in your heavenly name. Amen.
Amen.